passe à un artiste. Super, encore un but sensationnel. That's a brilliant bit of follow-up play by Mahé. Oh my goodness me, what a shot.
Sagosen. Sagosen setter det hen. Han setter den. De I semifinale.
Hello, hello everyone, and welcome to the Uninformed Handball Hour. It's Chris O'Reilly here as we continue our build-up to the Women's EHF Euro 2020. And before we push on with the main topic of today's podcast, a quick bit of news, because I'm pretty sure most of you have seen it at this stage, but if you haven't, the Norwegian half of the championship will no longer take place. In Norway, it was announced just a couple of days ago that due to the restrictions from the Norwegian government, that the championship could not take place in Trondheim. So at the moment, the EHF and the Danish Handball Federation are working hard to try and figure out a way to get the entire championship played in Denmark. It's not set yet, but hopefully it'll be sorted out in the next couple of days, and we'll have some good news for you on that front on the next podcast. But now, on to today's show, and we have another very special guest. We have Andrea Lekic chatting to Brian and myself today. Now, Andrea Lekic is a star for the Serbian national team. She led them to EHF Euro 2012 semifinals at home. She led them to the 2013 World Championship final also at home, and two events which will figure heavily in our conversation today. She also won the Champions League with Djur back in 2013. She had a great spell with Vardar then and is currently playing with Budućnost. She was in our Team of the Decade, which we had a couple of months ago. Wonderful player, great history in the sport already, and a very interesting character to talk to. She's going to speak to us about the games and the championship that changed her life. So let's go.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, guys. Hi. How are you?
Hi. You're very early. Nice.
Very early. I think I'm my maximum, I swear.
For this chat, we're going to focus on you and your history in handball. I wanted to have you think about some of the tournaments or the games, particularly with the national team, that have changed your life and made you the player and the person you are today. So when we sent you this question, what kind of events and what moments came to your mind?
The first moment which came up to my mind, it was 2013 and a World Championship in Serbia. And that's the championship which definitely changed my career and my life. Like, it brought so much happiness in my life and in my career. So that's the thing, because after 2012, we got this, say it like, opportunity to have two championships in a row in Serbia, because I think Holland canceled the event. So Serbia got it. So that's how we played, and we felt for the first time how it is to play in front of our own fans 2012. So we had a huge experience. And then we went in 2013, like, with a less of pressure. Indeed, we knew that we can make great things.
Talk to us a little bit about 2012 then. Was there a turning point in there where you thought, like, okay, but this tournament is going to be a lot different to the other tournaments we've played?
Of course. Trust me, when I was starting to play for the national team, I'm going to lie if I say how many years. We didn't even pass the group on European and the World Championships, indeed. So for us was when they told us, like, European is going to be held in your country, you know, because you applied for it. We were all, like, so excited, but in the other point of we didn't know anything what is going to happen and how we are going to feel. So for me and for my teammates, it was totally different championship and totally different responsibility. Because looking on that way, until that moment, handball in Serbia for many years was really in the basement without any results. And then you know that you have a huge responsibility on your back, indeed, like developing the handball again, like putting back. That's how I was thinking also, because you don't get this chance every day to play in front of your own nation in the city where I was born also. So family and friends, everyone is there, and so many kids are watching us. So it was a huge thing for all of us. And I do think in that moment, we were not so aware of it. But during the championship and day by day, the things are coming along.
But you like that pressure, don't you?
Yeah, but I enjoy playing the four holes. It's my biggest pleasure. Like, and also making some things and making the fans happy. So that's the style which I like, and I also like attractive way of handball. So I think it's a really a beauty of a sport and a privilege playing in front of your nation.
Was it a switch for the entire team as well? Because once you knew you're going to have this championship in 2012. You knew that maybe something had to change within the team and you had to get your act together a little bit?
Trust me, I don't know how to explain you. I think it's even not easy to find the right words. But I think that first, when we got this news, I think the goosebumps were all over the national team. So we were always like looking forward. And then, of course, you get many questions by yourself. Can we do it? And is there a pressure on us? Because until that moment, as I told you, we didn't pass the group. So can you imagine, you're getting a European in your country and before that, no any single result except for qualifying. I was the captain of the team in that moment. And then like someone who should be the one who should pull the team. I was so excited and I couldn't wait to start this one because it was like in 2 or 3 months. So we didn't have time indeed to prepare a lot, you know. So it was even better that you were not so obsessed with thinking so much and then you didn't need to wait so much time. For this to be held in our country, it was very surprising for us. So maybe it was even better. And we were fourth. So it was also a great result for us. And that gave us the wings, indeed. That European turned everything in our heads that we knew, well, okay, we are capable of doing the bigger results.
And so at the time when you finish fourth, I mean, a lot of people say that finishing fourth in a tournament is one of the hardest matches to lose and you miss out on the medal. What are your memories then of that game? Because you played that semi-final and then I think 20 hours later you played the bronze medal match. So it was already quite demanding in that regard. When the game was over, were you kind of satisfied or were you still kind of like really, really kicking yourself? And was it a harder pill to swallow losing out on a medal like that?
Yeah, but I think every sportsman who loses the chance to get a medal is sad. Because in that moment you're not thinking, okay, if someone would offer us before the championship, we would say like, oh, it's great. But another point of view, we were really like sad, totally and crashed. But still, after a few days, the emotions, you know, cooled down. And then we said, okay, but that is a huge thing for us. Like, we did a great job. I know we are not happy we didn't get the medal, but, you know, there is a huge space to progress. And that's the thing which I saw like the best ever in our team because we were aware of our possibilities to progress a lot like a team. So in every case, I would not change it. Of course, I would like the medal, but the thing is that maybe we became even more hungrier in that moment after it.
20 hours is not a long time to recover and get ready for the next game. And that went to extra time as well against Hungary in that bronze medal game.
So time of destiny in my career.
Must have been an absolute killer though. Was there any regret in that sense that like these were these two games which could have changed so much? You could have got a medal and within 20, 21 hours, they just both disappeared.
If there's some things I would be asked like a player to say, if can go in a better way in our sport, it's that we need more rest between the matches. And that's for sure. And first, we will just, the health is always on the first place, if you ask me. First, we would save our health and we would show and perform much better also for the handball world and the audience. We would show much bigger and much nicer spectacles, you know, in the future. So I would really like to have more rest, of course, between the games, because it's only going to bring a plus for our sport and for the audience. And we can just do with the great things with this. And we will avoid the injuries, because many injuries, unfortunately, are happening when we are so tired.
You mentioned 2013 there at the beginning as one of the big moments that came into your head when we asked you to do this interview. After 2012, and you finally then maybe had this belief going into 2013, was there a different feeling in the squad when you're going into that 2013 tournament that, oh, maybe we can do something here compared to other years when you've gone into all those other tournaments?
I think, yes, it changed a lot. The championship before that, like European, as I told you, like it gave us wings. And then I think for the first time in my career, we felt that, okay, now we are on the task. We have to do it. It was not anymore like a question, like, can we do it? Or, you know, which are our possibilities? For this tournament, we were aiming for the medal between each other. We were speaking that we are capable of doing this. And then we had a great host in the first part of the tournament, a great city and a great audience. So we knew it. Okay, we need to perform very good because we're going to have a huge support everywhere. And what we did 2012, we just create a great base indeed for the handball audience in Serbia. We just showed them, hey, guys, we're here. So now we need your support and we are going to do it. So between each other, we were ready for a great job. Honestly, we were not speaking so much this loud because, you know, we didn't have any, how to say, like right to say it so loudly. And we didn't want that kind of pressure because, of course, all eyes were on us. But between each other, we were very, very ready to do the things in the best possible way.
For you personally, in your own individual performance, 2013 was already a good year for you. You won the Champions League that year and you ended up getting the IHF Player of the Year. Like coming into that championship then in December, did you think this was going to be the Andrea Lekic show?
Yeah, I was just thinking this is going to be our show, honestly saying. You know, I do think that all of us who are playing for the clubs and playing for the national teams, those are the totally different emotions, which is totally normal. And knowing and the fact playing in front of my people, it was like, now is the time. Like, you should finish the year on the right way. Like, it was great. It was my dream, club dream fulfilled. Now it's time, like, to do it with a national team so I can, like, have a year from a dreams. That were my thoughts, and I was completely sure in my team that we are just capable of doing this.
I rewatched the last 10 minutes of the quarterfinal against Norway, and then the scenes after the game when everyone was falling all over the place crying. I think it's fair to say that that was a big moment in the tournament, and maybe also in your heads that you were kind of really doing something special now.
You know, when we got this, like when we saw the draw after the groups and then we saw like, it's coming, like South Korea and then Norway is possible. And we were like, oof, we couldn't get harder, you know, there is no harder schedule in that moment. But we were like, okay, that's how it is. We want the medal. We need to do it. And, you know, no way back. And we were always joking like, there is always like the hardest roads are leading to the beautiful destinations. So they say, you know, so against Norway, as you said, that is going to be the match which I'm going to remember forever. That's for sure, because we were losing -5. But in the moment in the team, the self-confidence was not, in my point of view, when I look it back like now, it's indescribable. I couldn't really explain you that we were so calm in that moment. We were like totally believing in each other. It was a full hall. We were like, okay, very calm. We were not in a stress. We were not in a hurry. So we are totally ready to do this like step by step, goal by goal, attack by attack. So we were really calm. What is really surprisingly, indeed, when you compare the moments in the match, where are you in that? For me, like you said, the championship and the match would be against Norway, which gave us a huge wings because we realized that with the team power and team fighting, team spirit, we did it. It was no any extra individual who you can, you know, say like she was the best one or outstanding. We were functioning like one.
Oh, where did this calmness come from?
I think this is what we formed in 2012, that we realized that everything is catchable and everything is possible. So once when you realize that that stage of your career, that everything is possible, there is no time to lose the hope, you know. There is time, you can see the clock, there is 20 minutes more, you're losing 5, but that's normal. Everything is really like nowadays, like you can catch every result, whatever you want. So we were like, okay, just calm me down. We need to focus on defense because defense was definitely the strongest part of our team. So we were like, okay, calm me down. We will be ready. And we just play attack by attack. I didn't see the panic in any second, if you trust me, in this match. So that's why the happiness was really like overload. Of course, winning against Norway, who was playing in a full squad then, and all the players who were ruling in the Europe in that moment, we didn't have so much players. Some of them were already on the ending of their careers. You know, we had 2 or 3 who were ending on their careers. So I think also this was one of the so important details in our team, because knowing that you have someone also, your teammate, who is going to finish career with this championship, it means like, hey, this is the last time also for them. And maybe it's also for all of us to win the medal. So I think this unity, what we had it was amazing.
Was there any player or personality in the team that you look to sometimes for inspiration as the captain?
How I saw it, indeed, what was also different in the national team 2012 and 2013, we had also assistant of psychologist. And I think it's very important in every case, of course, if the psychologists have a sense to feel the team and to get the best from the team. What was very nice from our side, I think, what was the unity. I never had this until that moment. If you believe me, we were speaking before every match, like we, the players, we were sitting a lot. And then we were giving like each other like tasks. you know, so your linebacker is doing this and this, what is your job? You know, we were like putting the responsibility on each and every one of us. So it's like, you should be ready for this, and this is your task today. And my task is this one in defense, and your task today. So I think we were giving obligations. We were totally putting responsibility on each other back. So there was no like turning to someone else to say, hey, you didn't do it. That's what your job, and that was your mission, and you should do it. So we were very clear with the instructions, which I really liked it, because it's a special thing. Informs that like, okay, we are all in the story, no matter bench or the players who are playing, but everyone was so in. So I think that was, like you said, I was turning to everyone indeed, because in defense we have, for example, Cvic. She was really a beast at that moment. And then we had also Jelena Erić, who was really commanding the defense. So we had always the players who were commanding in some part of the game. So that was great. Katarina Tomašević was outstanding on the goal. And you know that she was the one who was like, you know, what are the goalkeepers? The last save. So they called her in Serbia after this championship like a Ministry of Defense. So, you know, it was a joke also during the championship that she's going to be the Minister of the Defense. So, yeah, many players I was turning on. I felt this. I felt totally secure.
You mentioned before the crowd for both years. And like Brian was looking back at the quarterfinal, like, I couldn't help but look at the final the other day against Brazil. And I mean, the first thing you notice is just the incredible noise of like almost 20,000 people there. Absolutely insane. I don't think obviously you hear similar things also in Serbia with the men's side, but this was like another world. I think that final, was it possible to get it out of your head, or is it just something you had to embrace early on, and was it easy to embrace?
The audience was getting bigger and bigger. Like they were preparing us for the high spectacle, you know. Also in the semifinal against Poland, already the whole nation was with us. And then we had such an issue with the tickets, you know, that I cannot explain you. We were turning off our phones, like on the days of the matches. We were not answering to the, like, even friends. We're like, hey, we don't have any more, you know. Yeah. And then in one moment, you're just looking at each other and you're like, if someone told me that it's going to be a chaos for the tickets for the national team of Serbia, I was like, I don't believe it. So that was also many things which were following all this kind. Against the semifinal of Poland, like, brought us almost full hope. And we were saying, okay, now the final is coming. It's going to be complete chaos. So I think we were ready somewhere. But again, I think you're never enough prepared for that dramatic. Like, they were so, like you said, loud that we couldn't communicate between each other. And I was so happy because that moment, handball was back on track. So we showed the people, hey, handball is coming back. So just come and support it. It was so funny because everyone was so interested, you know, and until yesterday, they didn't know that handball is basically existing in Serbia, you know.
I think it's interesting to hear about different players from different countries talk about playing for their fans. I mean, how would you describe Serbian fans to play for as a unit? What kind of personality does the fans have? Some fans are more forgiving, some are more demanding, some have a very good memory, some forget things very quickly. What are Serbian fans like?
Exactly, like you said, they're very demanding. What this means, I always say that the people in Serbia are spoiled a little bit about the fans, because why? Our team sports, if you're looking back in the history in Serbia, all team sports are having medals lately. Like, we are the country which is forcing, like, and having a great result in team sport, comparing men's volleyball, basketball, water polo. All the sports and also the women's sports are bringing the medals, you know? So everything what you do, if it's not a medal, people are spoiled. They're like, okay, it was good. Maybe like sixth place, but you didn't take the medal. So who cares, you know? So knowing that means that if you want also to like satisfy them, you have to aim for the highest. Otherwise, it's not counting. So those are the fans in Serbia. And then you are realizing that they are putting like extra pressure on your back because, you know, you cannot be bad.
The final itself, I mean, it didn't come out with the victory. It was a super interesting game to look back at, particularly like 7 years later for me and different memories of what I had of it. What are the abiding memories for you of that day and that game?
I think I didn't speak about this never, indeed. So I will not remember it on a good way. Why? Against Poland, in the last second of the match, I wanted to catch some hard ball and the ball was behind my back and I wanted to score because for every price. And then I stepped very bad and I got dislocated foot. So I got a huge, like, call it, I don't know how to call it, amount of blood in my foot. So I went to check myself and I got diagnosed that I have to be out of the court from 4 to 6 weeks. No matter what, they said, like, no matter what, you're risking a lot. So that's how it is. I really couldn't stand. Everyone knows, all my teammates and all the whole national team. So remembering the final in that way, I was playing under painkillers, hard ones, like impossible ones, injections and these kind of things before the match and also in the halftime. So for me, that match was very painful physically. Psychically, I would never also allow myself not to play that match in front of 20,000 people in front of my nation. But indeed, I was very sad because I was really torturing myself. I think I couldn't give everything what I wanted because I was literally limping half of the match. Everyone knew it. And also, I think this was also hard part, you know, everyone seeing this. So I think it didn't bring us good for that final. And I was kind of very sad and crushed. And I was like spending 8 days, I remember, with like some plant injections trying to get the blood out from wood before the final and everything like this. So I was thinking that this was the worst nightmare. Even I can start to cry now. The worst nightmare in my career, definitely. And then, you know, I decided to play. And of course, I think everyone would play it, no, in front of your crowd, like full final. But it was very hard in that way that you know that you're not on the level you should be because it's impossible to perform under that conditions. And it was very hard for us because we were very close. You know, when you lose the match with 5-10 goals, then you are like, okay, you know, we were like bad. We lost the match. But indeed, we lost the match in 1 second. They were having like player less. They just did a great job in that moment. We could have attack also for a victory. So the match was turned like in 1 minute and a half. It was, I think, a real final for everyone who was watching. And unfortunately, we didn't win this game. And of course, it's always going to leave some hard feelings. But from other point of view, I'm very grateful. I'm not the person who is looking at the bad things. Of course, everyone wants to be a world champion. But from other point of view, I'm very grateful. I think that we did impossible thing for us in these 2 years, that the progress was like a fairy tale progress, because no one would dream about this. And overall, when you ask me, like, overall feeling happy and proud, definitely would be.
I could feel it off you that it's still a thing that stings a little bit for you. It's still quite a painful memory. What did you do initially afterwards to kind of cope with that? And I don't think you ever fully get over something like that, but how long did that really, was it a really painful kind of memory for you?
I think that the first days and even like first month and a half, we were like very hard. Also because physically I was not able to function. So altogether came into the phase that I was like, okay, I couldn't walk after that, like 6 weeks I was out. Mm-hmm. And then comparing to everything, like you said, it's always going to be painful in some way. And that's for sure. But you know, the new matches are coming and the new victories are helping a lot and new successes are helping a lot and the good performances are lifting you up. And that's the beauty of this, that you always have a chance to improve and to progress and to do the good things so you can feel better. So for me, as I said, like in the moments, it was very hard. But then you don't have too much time to think about the painful things because the matches are coming. Then the club competition is starting. Then the Champions League was starting already like in the end of January. So if you're living in the past, in that moment, you're losing a lot in the present. So for me, I was like, okay, just you need to lift yourself up, recover good, and then you have to get back on the track and to dream the new dreams. No, there is no other way to progress and to put this back because I will always, until I'm playing handball, I'm always going to dream the highest possible dreams. So that's, I think, is the thing which is pulling me always, which is pulling me every day, that I'm always motivated and I'm not going to play this sport. I'm going to stop in the moment when this motivation is going to be like gone for everyday training.
During that time, you're with Vardar and you're on this incredible journey with the club. Like the things you did with the team was really impressive, even though you didn't get to the final destination. But with the club, things seemed to be going very well. And you had mentioned there how, and it's clear to hear how passionate you are about the national team. So just how frustrating was it then that not so long after this that you were in this, I guess, period of exile from the Serbian national team?
It was hard. I think everyone who is taking this kind of, how to call it, like decisions in her life, you have to stand behind them. And I am staying behind myself because I know on which things they were based on. And I really consider myself like a very fair and correct player and person. So I do think that the decisions which I made it because I couldn't do it anymore. So it was like the water was really like up to here. And I needed a break, definitely. I didn't feel good. So me not feeling good, that's me not performing good. That's me not contributing to the team. So I was very realistic in that moment that I knew that also my health in one moment was asking a break. And when you know that the body is also not reacting on a good way, I think that you are not contributing anywhere, even the national team, even the club, but first to yourself. That's the thing.
When you look back at that time when you're out of the national team, you don't, from what you're saying there, it sounds like you don't think that that was missed time or lost time in any way because you feel like you maybe weren't in the right place to contribute to the team.
Yeah, I don't think that is a missed time because, as I told you, I consider myself like a mature person. I think everyone also would go in the past and change some things. But you know that when you feel that your soul is totally not there and not ready to contribute and not ready to help, when you don't feel the joy in your heart in that moment, when you are pressed with some other feelings or some, you know, hard feelings or like bad feelings or like frustrating feelings, then I think it's the most correct thing for the team who should play and contribute. It's not to be there. It's like, okay, guys, I cannot. Now it's the time for me to break up, to make a break because I feel like this. So for me, it's much better and much more useful for me and for the others and to be fair and correct on that way.
You came back to the national team then in the meantime, and you are going to be there hopefully next month, right? If everything goes to plan. Yeah.
Yeah. Everything goes to plan.
Yeah.
Like playing the last match in the Champions League, I was thinking, okay, now I should stay healthy, you know, yeah. Because the last championship it happened, I got like broken eardrum in Russia. So I was like, no, I hope that is not like now it's coming back again. You know, you cannot avoid these feelings. It's just, I want to be there so badly. Yeah. And so I'm not going to play handball. I don't know how much years more. So I want to enjoy the moments, and for sure Euro is going to bring it. And I'm really looking forward to it.
Has your outlook on playing for Serbia now changed a little bit for you? So everything you experienced in 2012, 13, the time off, and now coming back a couple of years ago, is your approach to the team different nowadays?
I think we are all changing. I hope it's in a better way. That's how I see also myself and my teammates. I think also our players now are having a really big role in their clubs. So I think that the Serbian national team showed on last championship really good performances. And also qualifying for the tournament for the Olympic Games, it's a huge success after like I don't know how many years. So knowing that we are all like getting better and better, the team is getting better, like the team is lifting up. So I do think that we are all better in that point of view, and that we are having much bigger chances for a better results. So I that's why also this joy is really here, and I'm really impatient, and I cannot wait this championship to start.
Just to jump back a little bit, you mentioned there about the injuries that you suffered. We spoke to Christina Niago in the last episode, and she was talking about how kind of in a strange way, those injuries, those really serious injuries she had, made her mindset stronger. I mean, do you have a similar outlook like that? Or what were the injuries like for you that you suffered through your career?
I totally agree with this, because this is the things which first like really knocks you down, like I said, in the basement when it happens. And then first like days, you're having really hard thoughts, you know? How much I can handle more, like, why is this happening to me? You know, these kind of questions. And then you just get up and say, okay, is there any better thing which I do every day? Or is there the thing which I love most, like more than this? You get the answer really fast and you know the road back. So I also had few injuries. So I also had the surgeries. So I also know what means to come back after a surgery. But what is very interesting, coming back on the court after the injury, is that sometimes you forgot to value the things which you passed, like which were like behind back in the recovery mode. So sometimes I do think that we are forgetting on ourselves, you know, like we are considering, okay, this is normal. And then I will never like say, I will say like, bravo, Andrea, like you came back on a great way. Because I think for us, this is like a routine. You came back on the court, you played, you just forget like, hey, you did a great way. It's always, sometimes it's really good also to get applause for yourself. Because I think we are not enough cheering for ourselves in these kind of moments. And we are not valuing, maybe like appreciating that we have again this opportunity to play again. That we should be happy and they should not be like obsessed with things which are not important indeed at all. But sometimes you forget it. And then you are just starting to be stressed about the things which are totally, you can totally not compare with the one which you passed after the injuries, you know, then I always say, like, if the coach gets you stressed or the players get you stressed or the result was not good, you should always remind yourself, hey, but you're on the court, you're on the pitch. So trust me, it's a priority to be on the pitch. And no matter what is happening, we are not aware how much is important to be healthy and to stay there on the place which you like the most.
So what does stress you out nowadays then?
Nowadays, I don't have stress anymore. Corona and COVID are stressing me. COVID is stressing me. So it's the only thing which is stressing me, like I'm waiting my matches. But still now we did some matches and I'm satisfied indeed. We are getting better. But now I'm like really hoping that the championship will pass in a good way, that no one will get infected with this one. And then that most of us will finish, and hopefully all of us will finish this match as healthy, and that we will have a great show in upcoming Euro.
Well, let's speak a little bit about the championship coming up then. And it's a tough old group, Group C, with the Netherlands, Hungary and Croatia there. It seems really difficult to make any kind of predictions or have expectations this time around, because I mean, we don't know exactly what it's going to look like. Players from each teams, you don't know exactly how strong they're going to be. How do you approach something like this and just try to focus on Andrea and focus on Serbia?
You know, like you said, there are no any predictions. Literally, I don't think that we should go match by match and really to stay calm as much as possible. So for me, it's I'm not obsessed, but I really do believe in a good result on this Euro, as all the things are going to be okay with this. Like, I don't want to mention it again, but I just hope the whole schedule will go like this, smooth, hopefully. So for me, I do think that we are mature and we are ready for a good result. That's the thing which is bringing me some kind of peace. So I'm not stressed at all. I do think that we have a good chances, of course, but every group is tough, you know, so I'm not looking on that way. Every group is tough. And I think that we are going to have really interesting matches in our group. That's how it is. There is no favorite, because you know that many national teams are without some players because of the injuries. So I cannot say, and I cannot predict it, that who is going to be a favorite at all. It's going to depend on many things.
Andre, if you think back to the first time you put on the jersey for Serbia, if you could give yourself one piece of advice, now being where you are at this point, what would that one piece of advice be to yourself, Andrea Lekic, way back in the day when she first put on that Serbian jersey?
I would say that don't put so much weight on your back. Just enjoy and really in every second, because our career is going to finish in one moment. And you should remember this period of life like the most beautiful period of your career, definitely.
Oh, beautiful.
Beautiful. Yeah.
No better way to finish it. Andre, that was so good. Thanks so much for taking the time to chat with us.
Thanks, guys. I was enjoying.
Now, that was Andrea Lekic. Brilliant stuff from Andrea. And as you can hear, she is pumped to get EHF Euro 2020 started. And hopefully, by the next podcast, we'll be able to confirm that there will be an EHF Euro 2020. As I mentioned at the top of the show, the Danish Handball Federation and the EHF working it out so Denmark can save the day. And we can have the whole championship from the 3rd until the 20th of December there. But all we can do at the moment is carry on with our preparations, and we'll have another episode of the podcast next week. Maybe even two, in fact. So stay tuned, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.